Well, good morning, everybody. Happy New Year. Good to see you all. Thanks for coming today. Thank you, team, for leading us. And I was thinking about the words we just finished singing, Bright Hope for Tomorrow. Bright Hope for Tomorrow. We begin this new year having a bright hope for tomorrow because of who our God is. And every time we gather together on the Lord's Day is an amazing privilege. Amen? It's an amazing privilege. But there's something particularly special about worshiping together on the first Sunday of the year. It's like our feet are at the starting line and the race is ahead of us. Bright hope for tomorrow. It's January the 7th, 2018, and I, this morning, have a great anticipation of what is ahead of us. I've been praying, Lord, what do you have for us this year? God, you've given us this new year, and what do you have for us, Lord? We are open to that. I don't know about you, but I really like new beginnings. I like Januarys. I like the do-over, the start-over. You know, it's the reboot button. It's like you take the Etch-a-Sketch and you give it a shake, and whatever was on the page before, it's clean, it's brand new, it's a time to start all over again. Perhaps in the last couple of weeks, you did a review. You maybe were looking at some newspaper articles or some stuff online. Maybe you're watching some TV shows and reviewing the things that happened in 2017. And many of us, no doubt, did a personal review. We were looking at our own lives, thinking about who we were, what happened in our lives, and celebrating milestones. And no doubt, perhaps if you did that as I did, that we want things to be different. We want to do things different, and we realize that there's certain things that we want to be different in our lives. But most importantly, as we begin 2018, and more importantly than just eating better, or living a healthier lifestyle, or decluttering our homes, which are all things that probably all of us said we should do and we need to do. Today we have the opportunity to prioritize what really matters and who really matters the most. You see, in 2018, God is going to be working in His church, building His kingdom. God is going to be transforming lives and bringing glory to His name, and we have the opportunity to be part of that. Does that excite you? Do you want to be part of that? Amen, I do. That should get you excited. God is at work. God is at work. He's at work in His church. And He invites me and He invites you to be part of what He's doing in this year, in the days ahead. This is our hope. This is our bright hope for today and our bright hope for tomorrow, that it is Christ in us and our hope is in Him as He leads us into 2018. And so many of us got these things. This was one that I bought my wife. This is one of her Christmas presents. It's not very exciting, but she likes it. And the calendar hangs up on our fridge. And we have calendars. They're all blank, right? There's really not too much on them for 2018. And as we turn the page into this new calendar year, the things that excite us, the things that we have hope for and anticipation for, that blank space can also expose our worries and our fears. Perhaps this morning you're not really looking forward to 2018 with anticipation, but rather with anxiety. Maybe it's school, marriage, finances, relationships, the workplace. And you already, 7 days into this year, you've brought some of those anxieties in with you. And as you look at those calendar dates and the blank space, you see uncertainty. Maybe you're wondering, is this year going to be any different? We worry, how are the challenges that I brought over from 2017, how are they going to be any different? Will our prayers be answered? Will our needs be met? We feel those things. Recall the lyric of this Advent candle that just a few weeks ago we were singing, from Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. From our fears and sins release us. Let us find our rest in Thee. Do you want to find freedom from anxieties this morning? Do you want to be released from these debilitating worries? Do you want that renewed hope for 2017? Listen, lasting transformation in this year, in 2018, can be found, is only found when we are set free from the truth of God's word, set free by what God says to us in His truth. Because He knows what we need to hear. He knows what we need to do as we gather together on this first Sunday. I chose a passage this morning as we look into God's Word that's for me. Because I have anxieties, I have worries, I have fears, I have hopes and expectations, but I also carry in these anxieties, as we all do. And this is a passage for me. This is a passage for you. This is a passage that speaks to our hopes and to our fears as we embark on this journey of faith in 2018. And you can take this passage into the new year confident, knowing that the Lord will be with you, knowing that the Lord is going to be to you who he promises to be, and he will do for you what he promises to do. So I invite you to open your Bibles to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, beginning at verses 22. Reading to 34. If you're using the Bible in front of you in your chair, it's on page 871. Luke chapter 12, 22 to 34. Hear now the word of the Lord. And he said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on, for life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? If then you are not able to do as small a thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you're to eat, what you're to drink, nor be worried. For all the nations of the world seek after these things. And your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This morning, as we look at Luke chapter 12, we ask ourselves these three questions. First, what does it teach us about ourselves? Second, what does it teach us about God? And third, how should we live in 2018? First, what does it teach us about ourselves? This is the first thing that we learn in this passage, that our anxiety is great. It is no surprise to you as you read stats about North American culture that we are an anxious society, that we are a medicated people. And Jesus speaks into our lives and into our world and into our culture. And he says in verse 22, he said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life." Four times in this passage, Jesus says, in one way or another, don't worry, don't be anxious, don't be afraid. Why are you worried? Jesus does not want his people to be anxious. Hear that today. And in this passage, Jesus is addressing what life is all about and what we focus on. And he's pinpointing and he's poking at the thing that robs us of the kind of abundant life he has for us. He says, don't be consumed by your possessions, or don't be consumed by the lack thereof of possessions. William Arndt said this. He said, "Greed can never get enough. Greed can never get enough. Worry is afraid that it may not have enough." You know, we can easily crash into the ditch of greed, which says more, more, more. And Jesus warns us about greed just a few verses earlier. Look at verse 15. "Take care," Jesus said, "and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Watch out, he says, against greed. Be on guard, be aware. Jesus says to us today, the abundant life is not about having an abundance of things. That's the one ditch, the abundance of wanting things, the ditch of greed. On the other side is the ditch of worry. Jesus, again, don't be anxious about your life, what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink. See, greed wants more, but worry fears that it won't have enough. Jesus addresses in our lives these ungodly desires and these obsessions, and he says to us, don't be anxious about your life. Our anxiety is great. We're an anxious people. We get anxious for many reasons. As I was thinking about that, I realized that we're dependent, needy, weak, vulnerable creatures. We need food. We need clothing. We're anxious about many things. We're not in control. We can't control tomorrow. We don't know about our future. It's unpredictable. And somehow we think if we can just have enough stuff and make sure we have all the stuff we need, and if we can control our futures, that everything is going to be okay. And Jesus exposes this fundamental attitude, this wrong attitude that we have about life, the one that says that if we can surround ourselves with these possessions, that's going to be okay. It's going to make it okay because possessions are all that really matter. And we live like life depends on this, and life depends on us, and that we're responsible for doing this. And no wonder we worry and we're anxious and we're fearful, because when we're living like this, we live like there is no God. We live as if we're not trusting God. Here's five things that I wrote down about worry. Number one, worrying is useless. It doesn't fix anything. It's foolish. Jesus said it doesn't add an hour to our lives. Worry doesn't get you anywhere. In fact, it puts you further in the hole. First thing, worrying is useless. Second, as you know as well as I do, that worry steals your joy. Right? Worry steals your joy, and it's an enemy. It's an enemy of your life. The third thing is worry saps us of our strength. It's a baggage that weighs us down, and it inhibits us as we walk forward. It weighs us down. It saps our strength, and it impairs us from doing the will of God. The fourth thing is this. Worry diminishes our faith. It diminishes our faith. When we're consumed with our anxieties, with our fears, with our worries, it is just like a cannon of water that is putting out our faith. And the fifth thing is this, it diminishes our witness. Think about this. How can we testify to the goodness of God? How can we testify to the faithfulness that we were just singing about? How can we share the goodness of God when we're not trusting Him, when we are consumed by worries? See, worry grips us and it paralyzes us. It controls us. Look with me in your Bibles at verse 29. Again, Jesus said, do not seek what you're to eat, what you're to drink, nor be worried, for all the nations of the world seek after these things. An anxious heart, brothers and sisters, is an indicator that we are not trusting God. In essence, when we live in worry, what we're saying is this, God, you are not the God you say you are. And worry always leads us away from the blessings that God wants to pour into our lives when we worry. Worry reveals that our focus is not on the things of the Lord, but on the things of this earth. It's not on Him, but it's on ourselves. And Jesus said, believer, brother, and sister, this morning, I'm telling you, don't live like that. This is how the nations live. This is how those who don't know Christ live. This is how unbelievers live. People who are obsessed with material things. People who are focused and consumed by the things of the here and now. And not with life's ultimate matters, which are spiritual. Aren't we so influenced by the world? They don't know God. They don't trust God. They don't have heaven in their sights. Don't be like that. Don't be so preoccupied with the immediate that we neglect the important. Remember that old song, everybody's working for the weekend? That's the obsession, right? Let's live for the weekend. Let's live for the party. Let's live for 55. Let's live for the full pension. Brothers and sisters, we have a far greater future. We have a far greater hope. In Jesus Christ, there are things that are far more important. Let's not lose sight of the great things of life. Not only are we influenced so much by the world, we are influenced by the evil one who whispers in our ear. The devil comes along and he says to us, "Can you really trust God? Is he really good?" And we listen. We're so influenced by the world, we're so influenced by the evil one, and we worry. And worry does nothing good for us. It is not our friend on the journey of faith. It is not a great coping strategy in our toolbox. It is useless. It defeats us, and it dishonors God. This is the first thing we learn about ourselves. Our anxiety is great. Here's the second thing we see from Jesus in this passage. It's that our faith is small. Look at verse 28. "But if God so clothes the grass which is alive in the field today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you?" Look at these words. "O you of little faith." The rebukes of Jesus are not pleasant. Do you remember in Mark chapter 4? Disciples, Jesus, they're in the boat together. This violent storm comes up and Jesus is exhausted. He's been ministering. The storm doesn't even wake him up, and the disciples are yelling, "Jesus, you got to do something, we're dying." They wake him up. They're terrified. They're going to die. So what does Jesus do? He gets up. He shows his awesome power and his authority. He speaks, and the winds and the waves are calm. And after he rebukes the elements, what does he do? He rebukes their lack of faith. He says to them in Mark 4:40, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" Here's what I know. We're filled with anxieties and fears because we have a faulty view, a faulty vision of God. Our God is too small. He's not the God of the Bible who breathed galaxies and split seas and who crushed the enemy at the cross and who destroys armies that stand against him. See, our understanding, our vision of God is inadequate, as it was with the disciples. They didn't understand his goodness. They didn't see his power. Neither do we so many times. To many people, sometimes to ourselves, God is this cosmic Santa Claus, nice, but inept. We say to ourselves, the voice of the enemy whispers, we think, will God really come through for me? You see, life happens. Challenges are going to continue to come our way. This is what it means to live in this world. And if our eyes are on ourselves, if our eyes are on our circumstances and not on the Lord, we're going to panic like the disciples. We're only going to see the challenge that's right in front of us, and we're going to miss the power and the greatness of God. We will forget, I guarantee, we will forget that God has been faithful, that he has proven himself good always. Brothers and sisters, our problem is not that God is too weak. Our problem is that our faith is what? Faith is too small. Pastor Kent Hughes writes these words. He says, if we persist in worry, it is because we are of little faith. We do not believe God's word. It is as simple as that. We do not believe that he is in control. We do not believe that he is capable of taking care of us. We do not believe what his word tells us about his love and his care for his own. Friends, this is a rebuke. This is a rebuke. We need this correction. The scriptures are showing us this morning that our anxiety is great and our faith is small. But this is not what life in Christ is all about. Life in Christ, brothers and sisters, is far more important than food and clothing. Life in Christ is far more important than just wanting to survive day to day and hoping that we're going to have enough to make it to tomorrow. We need to get our focus in the right place. We need to surrender our anxieties. We need to have God deepen our faith. Here's what we need this morning. We need a greater vision of who God is. The best way to combat our anxieties and to grow our faith is what? To have a renewed, transformed vision, a deep conviction, a deep faith in the fatherly care of God. And by God's grace this morning, this is what we're going to do. As we look in this text, this brings us to our second question. We know what it teaches about ourselves. What does it teach us about God? Here's the first thing that I see in the text. First thing I see is that God is a good king. God is a good king. Our God is a king, and he is powerful. He is sovereign. What does this mean? It means that he controls the entire universe. He governs every element, every micron, every particle, everything that's going on. He governs everything big and small. Listen to the words of King David in Psalm 24. The earth and everything in it, the world and its inhabitants, belong to the Lord. God is powerfully, intricately, intimately involved in every part and every aspect of his creation. And he is working everything out according to his divine plan. And the good news is, friends, that this is including you and me and our lives and our 2018 and our concerns and our anxieties and our storms and our circumstances. He's got it in his hands. The earth is the Lord's. We are his. We belong to him. It's good news. Psalm 147 says this. He covers the heavens with clouds. He prepares rain for the earth. He makes the grass grow on the hills. He gives to the beasts their food and to the young ravens that cry. And in this psalm, Jesus said, take a look at what I've made. Take a look at creation. Take a look at vegetation and the living creatures. We're in our passage, verse 24, look at your text. Jesus said, consider the ravens that the psalmist wrote about, that God takes care of. Jesus said, consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God, what? God feeds them. Then he says, consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Verse 27. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory, all his regal splendor, and all his majestic dress, he was not arrayed like one of these. The Lord says to us, consider, consider, take a look. All right, Lord, we're considering this morning. We're thinking about them, how you take care of them, you feed them. Lord, what do you need to teach us, God? Lord, as we consider this, what do you need to teach us? The Lord says to us, I'm glad you asked. Verse 24, here's what he wants to teach us. He says this, underline these words in your Bible. If you got a highlighter, highlight it. It says, of how much more value are you? Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? He says again in verse 28, the lesson that he wants to teach us. God, what do you want to teach us? God's saying, here's what I want to teach you. Verse 28. But if God so clothes the grass which is alive in the field today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, he says it again. How much more will he clothe you? How much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? How much more? Note that phrase repeated, how much more? See, what Jesus is doing here is he's arguing from the lesser to the greater. Here's what we need to see. He's saying if A is true about the birds and the grass and the plants and the vegetation, how much more is B true? If God takes care of these temporal things that are just here for a moment and they're gone, how much more is God taking care of you who are eternal? God is taking care of you. We are citizens of this earth, but we are citizens of eternity. We are not temporal. We're eternal. God has made us. You see, God is going to see to it. He's going to take care of that just as that stuff is taken care of. The birds are taken care of. The grass is clothed. He is going to take care of us. He's going to perfectly, lovingly care for all of our needs. How much more in God's sovereignty And in his goodness, will he care for his children who are going to live forever. This is what Jesus says to give us confidence as we step into 2018. Jesus said at another time in Matthew chapter 7, listen to these words, "If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children," okay, we hear this phrase one more time, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? He's saying, this is who my God is, this is who my Father is, and Jesus assures us today that his kingship, he's a good king, his kingship, undisputed, undoubted, is intended to deliver us from the anxieties of all kinds, from our worries, from our fears. I'll say that again. His kingship is intended to deliver us from our anxieties and our fears and our worries of all kinds. If God can create and control and hold together this universe that we're part of, he will take care of you. So don't worry. You don't need to worry. So what do you do with those anxieties and those concerns and those weights and those burdens? Turn them over to God and trust him. Bring those fears, those small things, those anxieties and those burdens, and give them, surrender them to the one who can control them. Your sovereign king, your God, large and in charge, loves you. He is a good king. That's the first thing that Jesus teaches us, that God is a good king. Second is this, that he is a faithful father. God is a faithful father. I suspect that you have felt at times, like I have felt, that somehow God is out of touch with us. He's not listening. And we wonder, does he really know what's going on? Does he care about what I'm feeling? Does God hear my prayers? Does God really know what's going on in my house, in my mind, in my heart, in the depths of my anxieties? Does God really know? Sometimes we feel when we think like that, when we're consumed with those thoughts, we feel like we're alone. We feel like I'm alone in this, and I got to deal with this on my own. Well, Jesus wants to put that thought, those thoughts, to rest in our minds once and for all. Look at verse 29. "Do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried, for all the nations of the world seek after these things." And pay attention to this. Let's say this together. "And your Father knows that you need them." Your Father knows that you need them. God knows. God knows. Say that with me. God knows. That's a word of assurance to you today. God knows. He is completely aware of what's going on in your life. He is aware of your personal, specific needs, the things that you prayed for yesterday, the things that you're concerned about today, the things that you have been praying about for months. Know this morning that he knows. Know that he knows. Know that he knows. Know that God is not unwilling to give. Know that God is a good God. He's a generous God. As you look back over 2017, no doubt you have seen the faithfulness and the goodness of God meeting your needs and being gracious to you. Way back in the Old Testament, early on, we see these words in Joshua. Not one word of all the good promises that the Lord has made to the house of Israel had failed. All came to pass. Not one word failed. Not one word of all God's good promises will ever fail. God's promises are true for you in your life, in whatever's going on. He is a faithful Father. He is the omniscient, all-knowing God. He knows your frailty. He knows your fears. He knows your small faith. He knows your needs. And God, our Father, has promised to faithfully meet our needs. He is not short on supplies. He's not stingy in his giving. He's not tight for cash. He's not too busy for you. He's not distracted. Our good and faithful Father cares for what belongs to him. He guides. He provides. He answers our prayers because he's a good God, because he loves us. So, brothers and sisters, we can come to him expectant, confident, assured in faith, knowing that He will answer our prayers. He will supply all of our needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. He knows our anxiety is great. He confronts it. He knows our faith is small. And He challenges it. And He says to us, we don't need to be afraid. And so why do we foolishly worry when we can trust God, who is a good King and who is a faithful Father? Listen, none of us knows what is ahead of us in 2018. We don't know what's ahead of us, but we know who goes ahead of us. We don't know a lot about this year where there's so many uncertainties, but we are not uncertain of God. I speak to myself. I speak to all of us. Again, that carol says, from our fears and sins release us. Let us find our rest in Thee. Israel's strength and consolation, hope of all the earth Thou art. Hope of all the earth Thou art. Hope of all the earth Thou art. You, O our God, our good King, our faithful Father, the hope of all the earth, the dear desire of every nation, the joy of every longing heart. Resist today the onslaught of anxiety by trusting in the Lord. Peace, peace is yours. It is ours, not for lack of problems, but because of who our God is. Provision is ours, not because we worry it into existence, because we stress and strive and claw for what we need, but because we have a faithful Father. This brings us to our third question. How should we live in 2018? We ask ourselves a question, how do we put this into practice? God, going into tomorrow, what do we need to do differently? How should we be different? How do we need to live? So in 2018, if we want to honor the Lord, and I pray that we do, we must first deal ruthlessly with the sin of worry. We want to be free from the stress about worldly concerns, and so we need to ask ourselves the question, how do we respond to what Jesus says to us in Luke chapter 12? I see three ways in the text. Let me suggest them to you. First is to seek His kingdom. Seek His kingdom. Pastor Bill mentioned that's our memory verse for this month from Matthew 6:33. We just read it in our RMM readings. Seek His kingdom. The passage, what Jesus has been saying to His disciples, is leading to the climax in this verse. Look at verse 29. Do not seek what you're to eat, what you're to drink, nor be worried. For all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, Jesus says, instead, don't be like that. We've been talking about what we're not supposed to be like. Don't do that. Instead, say this with me, seek His kingdom. And what happens? Say this, and these things will be added to you. Instead of anxiety, make God your King and count on His kingly power and rest in Him. See, knowing that God is a good God, that He's a faithful Father, and knowing that He has promised to meet our needs, it releases us from our preoccupation about things, about the stuff of life. It releases us from this unhealthy preoccupation about issues about here and now, and enables us, it frees us to seek the bigger things, to seek His kingdom, to keep our priorities straight. We need to set our aim upon God and upon His priorities, upon His kingdom. Remember that old song we used to sing, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Brothers and sisters, we know that those who don't know Christ are consumed with these things. But we can see beyond this life. We can see beyond this life to eternity, to the things that are most important. I was reading something online yesterday, January the 6th, 7th, 8th, somewhere in those days. Let's call it January the 6th. 1956 was the day that Jim Elliot and the missionaries that were with him were killed in the jungles of Ecuador. It's that anniversary, that 60-year anniversary of their death, as they gave their lives to bring the gospel to the Auca Indians in Ecuador. Some of you know that story. Some of you know that quote that Jim Elliot is famous for saying, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Jim Elliot and those men that were with him on that day, they landed the plane and they were killed. They were martyred for the sake of Christ. And he knew about eternity. He knew what mattered. His priorities were straight. They were people who sought the kingdom of God. They gave up this life for the sake of the gospel to gain what they would never lose, an eternity. They traded temporal things for eternal things. Brothers and sisters, here it is, January 7th, and we are called to be kingdom seekers. Let our focus be on those things that are things of the kingdom. You say this morning, well, what does it mean? What does it mean to seek his kingdom? What does it mean? Well, here's how Leon Morris puts it. To seek the kingdom means trying to produce in their own lives conduct appropriate to those who have accepted the rule of God. When his followers concentrate on the kingdom, these things will be yours as well. When people truly honor God, God honors their faith. True disciples live under the rule of God, under this wonderful, benevolent, loving rule of our good King. Disciples of Jesus Christ prioritize the seeking of the kingdom of God, and what happens is we receive the provisions of God. Being a kingdom seeker means that you look at earth from the perspective of heaven, that you live on earth with heaven's view in mind. And what it does is it frees you from worrying about things that we think are essentials in this life, knowing that God is looking after you. Think about it. Isn't life more than a closet full of clothes and a pantry full of food? You know, we have more than we need to eat. We have more than enough clothes. So let's get on with the business of seeking his kingdom and being about the priorities of God. And let's receive his grace. That's the second response we find in this text. The first is to seek his kingdom. The second is to receive his grace. I haven't used this R word yet in the message. I haven't used the word resolutions, because the older you get, you kind of don't believe them anymore, right? You know, maybe some of you have broken your resolutions already or failed miserably at them, the ones that you made. And so as we get older, we go, I'm not even going to try. I'm not even going to start to make resolutions because I know what happened last year and the year before. January 1st is, for lots of people, all about the resolution. And I've made some of those R words in my life. But I want to tell you, here's the resolution that matters the most. Here's the resolution that you can bank on, that you can count on, that is not going to fail. And let me tell you, it's not the resolution that you make. It's not the resolution that I make. It's the resolution that matters most. It's the resolution that God makes. C.J. Mahaney says this. He said, the gracious promise and resolution of God himself is his resolution in relation to his purpose for his people. The resolution that we bank on, that we stand on this concrete assurance today, is God's resolution in relationship to you, his people, and his purposes. God will be faithful. God will pour out his grace in our lives. I love that. I love that. Do we trust our own resolve, or do we trust his? And I love this verse. Listen to our Father's resolve, verse 32. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to what? Say this with me. To give you the kingdom. God's little sheep, First Baptist Church, his little flock today, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. This is an imperative. It's a command from Jesus. He's saying, don't be afraid. God's resolve to you is strong. God's resolve to you is loving. It's gracious. So don't be afraid. Pound that into your heart. Don't be afraid. We are God's flock, and he is our shepherd. God has been pleased to already give you his son. and it is his pleasure to give you the kingdom. God is compelled by his nature, his steadfast love, to give you what you need. Give us, Lord, this day our daily bread. God says, I am faithful to do that. And when you see that command, don't be afraid, you say, well, why don't I need to be afraid? Don't be afraid. And then the Bible has this word, for, F-O-R. Don't be afraid for. Don't be afraid. Why? Don't be afraid for. Well, don't be afraid for what? And what comes after that word for is the action of God. It's the decisive action of God on your behalf. It's what God has been doing. It's what God will do. Why don't you need to be afraid? For God is doing something. God is acting. God is going ahead of you. God is gracious. And God will give you what you need. You are sons and daughters of the kingdom, and you will receive the blessings of God. So don't stress. You don't need to strive as if you need to get through this year in your own strength. Come like a little child. Come to his faithful Father in prayer and ask him, and you will receive what you need. Psalm 145 assures us, listen, you open your hand, this beautiful picture of the generous grace of God that you need to receive. You open your hand, you satisfy the desire of every living thing. Choose to believe and act on God's truth. Receive his grace. Come with these open hands and receive what God has for you. New every morning, his mercies. Come with humility and receive his wisdom. Come in your weakness and receive the power of the Holy Spirit. He pours out his grace on your life. Have faith. Not a small faith, not this meager faith that says, God, we're in such trouble. Come with the faith that says this. Come with the faith that believes that God will do what he's promised to do and act accordingly. Come with the faith that says God will do what he's promised to do and then act accordingly. Romans 8:32 says this, what shall we say to these things? If God is for us, you've seen it in Luke chapter 12. Jesus is saying, God is for you, then who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all. We could say again, how much more? Paul writes this way, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Do you see that? From beginning to the end, God's ways to you, his son, his daughter, is always graciousness. He deals with us according to the riches of his grace. God's heart is seen in the generosity of the gospel. His mercy was on full display, Jesus on the cross. Listen, God cannot, he will not abandon his people. He cannot, he will not fail you. He will not fail in his promises. So express in 2018 this confidence that the Lord will give you all that you need. The Lord will give you all that you need. Let these words carry hope to your heart. By grace we have been saved from a life of sin. By grace we have received the Son of God and new life in him. And in that same grace, God cares for you every moment, every day, every blank space in your calendar, everything that's ahead of you. So resolve, determine to seek his kingdom and live in such a way that you receive his grace. And here's the third thing. The third response, how we live is to give generously. Give generously. We see that in the text beginning in verse 33. Jesus says, sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I love what John Piper writes. He says this, if we have a God like ours, like what? Like all that we've been talking about. If we have a God like ours, we can afford to live simply and generously. We can afford to live worry-free, anxiety-free, free from our fears. And then that frees us to live generously. What's God like? What's he like? He's a generous God. He's a sovereign God. What does this mean for us anxious, small faith people. Well, what it means is that we can trust him to meet our needs so that we can be free to give to others and to live a life that's generous. Jesus said, freely you have received God's grace, freely be generous in giving to the needs of others. Scotty Smith, I love his prayers online. He's a pastor. He says this, how can we fully enjoy anything without freely sharing it? The more I understand the gospel, the more that I believe this. The greatest joy is not found in fearful hoarding, but in cheerful giving. You can see that if we're like the nations, if we're listening to the whisper of the enemy, if we're worried about all that we need, all that we have day to day, all the possessions and all the concerns of our life, we're not giving with open hands. We're grabbing, we're clutching, we're holding on for dear life. And so we don't have to be afraid to give for God's glory and God's kingdom. I heard a story recently of someone who had something to sell. And he named the price of what this something was, and the person said, I can't afford that much. And the person thought about it, who had this thing to sell. He was a believer and was selling this thing to another believer. And it was a true story that just happened within the last couple of weeks. As he thought about it, he said, you know what? I don't really need this money. It's not like, you know, life or death. Food today is gonna ride on whether or not I get money for this thing. He said, I'm just going to give it away. This person can't afford it. I don't really need it. I can do without the money. Yeah, of course, it would be great. I don't really need it. And so in this act of generosity, he just said, take it. Take it here. And I want to bless you with this. And I want to put this to use for kingdom things. And I was so blessed and so amazed and so encouraged to hear that story that this individual, he got this stuff. It's like, God, I can trust you. You're generous. God, I trust you. You meet my needs. That money, it'll come some other way. You'll pay our bills, God. And I get to be a kingdom seeker. I get to be involved in stuff of the kingdom. I get to be involved in blessing someone else in the body of Christ. You say amen to that? Isn't that a neat story? And that's what I'm saying, that when we see the goodness of God, we can be free to live generously. We can be free to give generously. We are people who can trust in a faithful Father. And when you live this way, what do you show? What do you show the world? What do you show each other? You show that you're a child who trusts the Father. You show that you are a son and daughter of God who understands that you're a child of a good and sovereign King. And when you have clarity about these things, about the kingdom of God, and it's speaking to the things of earth, then you can put things in their proper place, and you can hold them with open hands, and you can be generous, and you can give, and you can take your possessions and you can put them at the feet of Jesus and say, Lord, take me and use what I've got and use what you've blessed me with. Lord, for your kingdom work. God, I don't want to hold on to it. I want to give it to you for what you intend. And so, brothers and sisters, do this. Give to the poor. Live generously because the Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. The kingdom of God outweighs everything else in value and it's already ours. And then, as you learn to use what God's given you in this life, what does it do? It helps you. Jesus said, when you do that, you lay up treasures for yourself in heaven. And just before this passage in Luke 12, Jesus was saying, be rich towards God. Lay up treasures for yourself in heaven. The way to be rich towards God, the way to lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven is to seek his kingdom and to use it to serve others. My friends, anxiety and worry is going to fight every step of the way against this. It's going to stop you. It's going to distract you from living for what really matters. So put your time and your energy and your resource into what matters. Be a kingdom seeker. Keep your focus on the Lord. By faith in who God is and how he promises to meet your needs, invest in things that are eternal things. And as you do, you will store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, and you will be filled with joy. So here we are, 2018. Nobody knows what the year is going to hold. This year may be filled for us with hard times, with blessings, with both. We don't know. But whatever God has in store for you, for me, let's resolve, let's begin this year right by anchoring our longings and our aspirations in the Word of God. in who he is, in his enduring faithfulness, and in his unbreakable, unshakable, unfailing promises. What do we know this morning? We know that we are his much-loved children. What do we know? We know that he is our great and faithful Father. Great is his faithfulness. In 2018, great is the calling that we have to be kingdom seekers. Great is the promise of God's grace. And high is the calling to give generously. And this is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you as we come face to face with your heart again, your heart of goodness and your heart of generosity. Lord, all praise to you for who you are and how you assure us, this afraid flock, Lord, with all of our fears and anxieties and our worries. Thank you, Lord, today for the power of your word, that the entrance of your word brings light and dispels darkness. And Lord, it quenches our fears, it quells them, and it calls us to live a life of trust in you. So you're good, and we praise you, and I ask that you would help us today to see you as great and as good. For your glory, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.